Welcome to Medium in Our Midst on BBS Radio with your host, psychic medium, Daria Justin. Explore with her the nature of energy, spirituality, and the endless journey of the soul in the afterlife and the here and now. She'll be bringing you different topics, interesting guests, some here and some from the other side. So please relax, listen, enjoy, and expect the unexpected.
Good evening, and thank you so much for joining me here on BBS Radio, the number one radio station on the internet. Today is Wednesday, September 15th, and here on Medium in Our Midst, it is my heart's desire to awaken everyone to the light within you, to empower self-healing, and to remember and realize your true potential as a soul having a physical experience. Whether you've listened before or you are joining me for the first time, I so appreciate being able to share this time with you. Please visit my website, dariajustin.com. There you will find upcoming events, upcoming guests on my radio show, read my inspirational blog, or get information about having a reading. If you would like to be kept current, please sign up for my weekly newsletter. You can find me on Facebook or email me at souls@dariajustin.com. Later on in the show, we will be taking calls. Here are some numbers. They're up on the screen, but I'll give them to you anyway. The toll-free number is 888-815-9756, and there are three additional lines. They are 530-327-7602, 530-776-5185 and 530-413-4522. If you can't get through, because there are a lot of people calling, which thank you, I'm so grateful for it. As we take calls and we finish them, the lines will open up, so keep calling back. My guest tonight is Rhonda Homan, and we will be talking about soul contracts. Rhonda is right on the mark when it comes to your soul's longings to express the powerful truth within you. A natural and gifted intuitive teacher, guide, and author, Rhonda brings clarity, insight, and resolution to even the most challenging and difficult aspects of life. Deep mystical experiences as a child led her to study theology, shamanism, alchemy, and the healing arts. As an adult, she realized she must share the gifts of spirit while teaching others how to empower and heal their own lives. As she says so often, it's all in remembering who you are. Rhonda is a gifted spiritual intuitive and healer, and she can access the Akashic Records like no one I've ever met before. Rhonda's gifts are truly a blessing. And I wanted to just read to you something that she wrote. Transformational life guidance is always available for you through the living energy field and Akashic Records. Important challenges in your life can be addressed and resolved as you walk your chosen earthly path. My mission is to assist you in empowering yourself and remembering your true nature and creative identity. To experience a reading with Rhonda, please visit her website. It's www.thesoulknows.net, and that information is on my show page. So with that, Rhonda, I would love to welcome you to the show. Good evening.
Good evening, Daria, and thank you for having me here because I always have so much fun with you, and you just know so much about so many different things, and your listeners and your audience and your callers are just so phenomenal. I'm just tickled to be here, so thank you.
Well, you know, we do shows together, and it is a joy, you know, but I have to tell you that out of all of the psychics I know, the mediums, the intuitives, the healers, you have a very, very unique way of looking at the soul. You know, it's funny, I went to see that movie, Eclipse, and you know, one of the Twilight Saga movies, and there's a part in the movie where one of the vampires says, "You are quite a soul reader," and the first thing that popped into my head in the middle of the movie was, "There you go, that's Rhonda, a soul reader." That's exactly what you are. You can read people's souls.
Yeah.
Well, so tonight we have an interesting topic. We're going to be talking about soul contracts. Mm-hmm. And the connections that you make to help you look at life in a completely different way. So to kind of set the scene here, I thought of this analogy of think of a play. Your intention sets the scene. We are the star players, and others move in and out of our play throughout our lifetime, yet each is the star of their own play. So share with us how you look at soul contracts and what you think the purpose is.
Well, I think the purpose is, like anything, we have to have a semi-structure so we can build a strong foundation for whatever. You know, no matter what we do in life, we have to have some sort of foundation and structure for it to manifest into something successful. So pre-incarnation, we get together with our guides, and we really come to a deeper understanding of why we're moving into the material plane, the physical plane again, of what we'd like to accomplish and express. So we set up our soul contracts there while we're in spirit, and we, you know, we negotiate, and we, the other people agree to be part of those soul contracts, and then the life's chart or the blueprint is designed. Now, what I've seen is that, oh, that's interesting. My lights just went off and on. Anyway.
Someone's acknowledging your presence.
Yeah. So what I want to say is that not all people that we come in contact with, they're not like definitive soul contracts. Soul contracts to me, when I go into someone's records and when I've been in my own records and when I've studied the records from the perception of how to teach them or as a teacher of them, What I see is that we have agreements that, and I want to preface this by nothing is really set in stone. Mm-hmm. However, we have like contracts with the people that we are born into, the family members, the origin of birth family, however you want to call it, and so those are the ones that are really more heavy-duty soul contracts. And then there's other people along our soul's journey through our lifetime that are very pivotal people, too, and major role players. And those, I would say, were soul contracts. Now, then we have soul agreements with people. And sometimes we can meet those obligations, or sometimes we may make other choices. We were talking about this afternoon, Daria. I had seen souls come right there into the time when the mom's in labor and giving birth, and the soul will chicken out until they're confronted with a stillbirth, the family member is.
Right.
Or you have the other situation where it was either karmic or it was planned that the child
right.
would be stillbirthed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I have seen that they would, you know, chicken out just right at the last minute. So, you know, but it's there to help us really experience the depths of who we are. That's, I think, very clearly what I see every time I look at really deep soul contracts.
Yeah, because we are here to experience ourselves. We are here
mm-hmm.
to have to consciously create our earthly experience. And we were talking about this before, how we have many lifetimes and we live these lifetimes simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And we view each, I think, each of these lifetimes, we view possibly the same soul contract, but from a different perspective. The perspective of the villain versus the victim.
Right.
People come to me and say, I feel like a victim, things are happening to me, and I try to give them the perspective of, in order for you to experience, in order for your soul to experience a certain theme, then you set it up where someone has to come in and set up the scenario that you can actually experience this. But at the same time, you may be having other lifetimes where the roles are reversed.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, for whatever you're experiencing. So you kind of get that whole, you get the big picture. You said something this afternoon that was a beautiful analogy. The light shining on the diamond. If you think of the diamond with all the facets, and each facet represents a different part of our soul, a different life experience, when the sun, the light, shines on one of the facets, it gleams. So the lifetime that we're in right now, that we're experiencing, you and I speaking, that's because the light is shining on that facet, but it's still part of the whole. It's part of the whole experience.
Right. And as I understand it, it is part and parcel of the experience that we're having in being witnesses. So we are the observers of our life, but we're also the creators of our life at the same time. So that could get a little confusing. However, the purpose of us even being on the earth plane is to experience ourselves fully from all these different aspects. But as we live our souls, we're going from lifetime to lifetime under the divine will in expression. However, we're having our experiences in our different incarnations in order to finally merge those two, the witness and the observer, to one, to just the divine will. And really, that's the purpose of everything. It's kind of like a serial show on TV where you have, a whole season of Dexter. Now I know that's sort of odd that I pull that out of the bucket, but you know, he's playing a role for a lot of people on the TV show. So there's each series. You know, there's a whole series, but then there's each episode. So the episode could be compared to our individual life, and a series is like the Book of Huna, the divine will. Or you can look at it this way. Now, this makes more sense to me. Now, the series would be like the theme you're working on.
Right.
You know, whether it's forgiveness or whether it's compassion. It's those big themes that our lives fall under. And then on top of that would be the divine expression of who we really are at the core.
Mm-hmm. And the producer would be the divine.
Absolutely.
The divine oneness would be the producer producing the show,
mm-hmm.
if you want to
Absolutely.
Fit in that analogy, which I think is a great way of looking at it. You know, I think it's also important to understand that we live in an illusionary world.
Yeah.
This life, it really is an illusion, and I think that is one of the hardest concepts for people to grasp, because we do manifest our thoughts. We do create our world. We are in a constant state of creation, and people would say, why would I create something so horrible? But really, the whole scenario, it's the illusion of what we have set up for ourselves to experience. But sometimes the experience is not who we are. It's just a facet of what we need to learn about ourselves or about our soul.
Yeah, the depths of ourselves. It goes back to that, but that deep part of ourselves, that all-abiding self, that we if our life is easy, we tend to deny the divine part of us. We really do. It's when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and they have to look within. You know, they have to look for deeper reasons. Well, why is this garbage going on in my life? You know, and then when we become more we become more realized in our God self and our higher self and our connection to that, and we start building that bridge to the higher self and the divine self, we start understanding ourselves from a different perspective. And then everything starts falling into place more, where you can be more of a conscious creator of your life. So, but that doesn't mean that it's easy. And I know, Daria, your life hasn't been that easy. I know mine hasn't. It's been that rather soap opera-ish. But, but you know.
This is true. We should have film crews following us around.
Right. But we've made it through, and it makes sense to us now. It maybe didn't make sense to us at the time, but it does now.
Right, because I have often said that the hardest lessons for me were the biggest teachers, and if I didn't experience those difficult lessons, I would never be in the place that I am in now. If I hadn't felt such deep, deep emotions, I would not have the compassion that I need to be able to do the work that I do in service to others. So when somebody says to me, I'm so sorry that I gave you such a hard time, or things, I made life so difficult for you, I say thank you, because that helped me to realize this deep, deep side of myself that I needed to understand, so that I could say, yes, you know what, I have experienced this, I understand this emotion, and it just makes it easier to help others. You know, the other thing, too, is when you look at your the family, you know, that you are in, and the themes that replay, and sometimes if you have a mother, a father, a sibling, a close friend, a cousin, anyone who's in your immediate circle, sometimes there are situations that don't change. They keep going on and on. Those are the ones you have to look at and say, what do I really need to do here to change this pattern or right. to release this pattern? Or, you know, how can I look at this in a different way? Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest, one of the things that resonated so much with me, Michael Jaco is a man who was a Navy SEAL, and he wrote a book called The Intuitive Warrior. And one thing he said was, and here he was in the midst of all this fighting, you know, I mean, Iraq and all this horrible stuff. But he always says, he said, I would just go to my heart center and I would look at things through my heart center. This resonated so much with me because now when I feel myself kind of being in this, playing this role out with someone, a close friend, a family member, I'll go to my heart center and it just makes everything shift.
Right, right. Absolutely, because your heart expands and you can feel that deeper connection to that person and the love, and you can feel the resonance of that. I've learned to really just kind of nip it in the bud, and if someone has done me wrong or done one of my children wrong, in my opinion, you know, I always look at the light in the person and I say, thank you, because you are being of service to me. I may not realize it yet. I may not get it yet, but you're being of service to me because I know that all of us have that divine light within us. So thank you.
And it's true because, you know, I don't believe it works both ways. I think that we all are part of God. We are all one. The archangels have told me over and over again, we are one. And if we are all one, that even someone who we think has a deep, dark, horrible soul or a horrible person, even that person has that light of love within them. And if you can, well, sometimes I find myself walking down the street and I kind of take myself out of I really focus on my consciousness, and all of a sudden I look at somebody
awareness.
And I'll look at somebody who's walking next to me or walking past me, and all of a sudden I'll look at them and I'll think, wow, that's a soul, and I wonder what that soul's divine purpose is here for. I wonder what their soul contracts are. I wonder who their soul connections are. So when you do that, you can then look at, like, say, the homeless person. Instead of saying, oh, my gosh, there's a homeless person, you could say, what is he teaching us? You know, what is his lesson? What are his life's lessons? It really makes you shift your perspective. And then, of course, there are the soul contracts that you just say, what the heck was I thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Goodness.
You know, talking about our family of origin, you know, I'm just going to take my family of origin just for an example so people can see, because I know that there's probably people in the listening audience that have similar situations. I was born into a family where I just didn't fit in. I mean, my understanding of life and, you know, the way things should really be was not their understanding. They were also very martyr-like, that they were of poverty and oppressed, you know, but I was bringing that into the picture because my theme was in the past of being a martyr, and this lifetime was just to drop that like a hot potato. You know, I had to let go of that to be able to move forward and to accomplish what I came here to accomplish. Now, there's times where I almost chickened out, but, you know, so far I'm seeing it through. But once we get it, once our realization of our higher self and our divine self starts expanding and we start experiencing it consciously, then what happens is it also affects the soul contracts that we have with our family of origin and the patterning that they have. And it helps loosen it up. And I've seen this over and over in the Akashic Records. It helps loosen it up for their family and this ancestral lineage for them to make quicker leaps into the next level of consciousness for them. So a lot of us are playing multidimensional roles, not just contractual roles for people.
Right. Sometimes you have to bring them along kicking and screaming, you know, dragging them the whole way all along. But then I find that, growth, soul growth, is exponential. And when you have soul growth, it just resonates from you. And the people who you are the very closest to, they can't help but be affected by the energy. And they may recognize it in different ways. They may become more enlightened and more conscious and more aware, or they may feel really weird when they're around you because they know something is disturbing, but they're not quite sure what it is. But one way or the other, they will be affected.
Right. Well, I know a really pragmatic example in my family. My sister had no idea what was happening in my life, but she was involved. She was married to an alcoholic, and he was abusive to her. She finally was brave enough to leave him. And this was a period after I made a giant leap in my understanding of who I was and who we all are. You know, she made a giant leap in leaving him. She moved out of her house finally, and she was able to. She worked at Walmart in the optical department, which I think is highly ironic.
Right.
Saved enough money to buy a little house on the corner of Mary and Hope Street, and I thought,
oh my goodness,
wow, you know, this is like truth in reality. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to say a word to her. It just took on a life of its own as I was honoring who I was.
Right. And, you know, and this really comes into our free will. I mean, we have free will, and we exercise it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just feel like when we become more aware, we can make conscious choices. We can decide, you know what, that's too much for me to take on right now. I don't care how great it's going to be for my soul. I don't care how much it's going to help other people. We are allowed to say, I just can't take that on right now. So I don't want people to think that because we have written these contracts that we absolutely have to do every single thing in order to complete this cycle. No, I think it's kind of like little steps, taking little steps.
Absolutely. You know, because even when I've looked at my chart and I've looked at my chart pre-incarnation, I had choices. I had four different blueprints written up, and I didn't decide until quite a while after I kind of contemplated. And one of them was a quite easy life, but I wanted more gusto. I wanted to be propelled into this next understanding. So I wouldn't have been where I am today in my consciousness had I not gone to the depths of hell. You know.
I agree with you. I think that when I look at my life, I think that I definitely wanted to take on a lot because I've just always had this adventure spirit. When I think back to when I was in grammar school and people would say, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. Well, I wanted to be an archaeologist. I wanted to go, you know, to dig in Egypt. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to go to different planets. You know, everything that I wanted to go live with the Native Americans and experience being with the Native Americans. It was always these things that we just really out there. Not I want to go be a nurse, I want to be a teacher, something like that. You would think, you know, that this is kind of what I would consider a helpful career, like something that was kind of normal for girls my age at the time. Mm-hmm. Like everybody wanted to be a nurse or a teacher or something like that. And here, I want to be an astronaut.
Uh-huh.
Oh boy. But thank goodness we chose these contracts. Otherwise, you and I would not be speaking right now.
Absolutely.
Before we go to some callers, I just want to talk about the ability that you have to go to these Akashic records. You know, for me, when I do readings and I make connections with people, I'm very eclectic, and I'm whatever their soul needs, whoever wants to come through, you know, whatever I need to connect to, I will connect to, but not you. You go right to the Akashic Records. You look up exactly what you want. You don't want anybody, getting in the way. And I think this is so fascinating. So why don't you just talk a little bit about and explain to people about the Akashic Records?
Okay. Well, I do it that way. I just want to explain why I do it that way, because who I am, my personality in the past, I'm coming from a really regimentated kind of false history. recently, mm-hmm. and everything was very orderly. And so it helps me focus. When I just open myself up, I'm so bombarded with different soul entities and mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff that it's easier for me to go straight to the records. I work with the teachers within the records and go to the highest information I can share in the shortest mm-hmm. amount of time when I'm working with people, because I realize at the end of the day it really is energy work, and it's helping people free themselves from their lack of understanding of who they are, or old patterning, or old thought forms. It's really to help them understand their magnificence and who they are at the core by filling in the really practical and pragmatic information. So
and also
why I
to
do it.
And also for people to understand that we do have help. There are guides. We have spirit guides. We have
yes.
archangels. There are beings whose sole purpose is to help us connect with the information that we need on this journey. We have not come here alone. No one has to be a psychic medium to do this, a healer, an intuitive. Everyone has access. They just need to learn how to access it. And how do you
right.
do that? You have to meditate. You have to take some time. Go for a walk outside in nature. Do something that's going to release your mind, relax your body, and refresh your soul.
Right.
So I think we are going to take some calls. So are you ready to take some calls?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if anything comes up for people's soul contracts.
Okay.
So could I have the first caller, please?
Hello.
Hello. Who am I speaking to?
Donna Rose.
Hi, Donna Rose. How are you this evening?
Well, you two are my favorite team. You know that already.
Okay,
good.
Did you make
so,
sure that you got through tonight?
You two are unbelievable. I could listen to you for hours. But
well, we're going to listen to you. Thank you. We're going to listen to you, Donna Rose. So what is your question?
All right, and the first thing I want to say that I had my Akashic Records read 3 times before I knew Rhonda, and I recommend it to the world. It's life-changing. It's incredible what it does as far as shedding light. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You two, a while ago, successfully predicted that a gentleman would come into my life. So he's in my life. Everything's well, and he's talking about a baby, and I almost fainted, but then I took myself off the ground.
Oh! How long have you known this person?
A couple of months. It's like, you know, nonstop together the whole time. It sounds really like you want to barf, but it's been a lot of time together, lots of talking, all that stuff. I think he's from my past life. I think I definitely feel that. But I want to talk to you guys about, you don't sense a baby, do you?
That question has a very negative vibe to it. You know, you don't sense the baby, do you? You want us to tell you no? Would that make you happy? You know, Rhonda, what are you feeling about Donna Rose and a baby?
I think you want to say. It doesn't have to be like that.
Well, I really
I guess that was your question. Let's focus on that. Go ahead, Rhonda.
Well, what I'm seeing right away, it's sort of idealistic. That's what I'm seeing. For him, I have to be really honest, Donna Rose, he's kind of living, there's a little bit of fantasy, an element of fantasy from where he's at right now. Now, that doesn't mean it's not going to translate into a really strong foundation and be able to really create a strong and structured relationship that can weather the time and the years and you know, all that this world has to offer us. So that's the first thing that they're showing me. It's coming from a little bit of an idealism. That's the word that they're using. But at the end of the day, Donna, what do you want? Do you want a baby? So it's really...
I've worked with kids, you know, and I love them to death. I just don't know if it's necessary to have a baby at 50. I don't know if it's fair to the child, really. I don't know.
Well, it's really up to you, but I see, you know, it's a lot of work. I have a little new puppy that's 11 weeks old, and I'm worn out. So it's really up to you, but I think you need to focus on the relationship and structuring the relationship so it's It has a strong foundation, and you're both on the same page. I kind of see him wanting to get a little bit ahead, which really kind of makes the foundation a little shaky, in my opinion. So if you can kind of rein him back in a little bit and keep him more grounded in his sensibility. He's really like a little giddy little boy in a candy store. That's what it looks like to me. What
very
are you getting?
Very happy person, yeah. He's a very happy person. He smiles and laughs. That demeanor that's naturally nice and funny and, you know,
that's
and kind
wonderful.
And all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree. I just wanted to see what you were sensing. He said he's fine if he doesn't, but I just thought I'd throw it at you guys anyway.
What do you think, Daria?
I actually picked up the fantasy part of it, absolutely. It's kind of like he's living in a fairy tale.
Yeah.
And he also feels he's running out of time. What's interesting, though, is I could see a past life for you two together, Donna Rose. You think Little House on the Prairie. I'm seeing you as a school teacher, and I'm seeing him as a young boy. And it's interesting that Rhonda just said he's like a little boy because that's the lifetime, and he idolized you, and he looked up to you. And now here you are. You're together again. I have the sense that you are, once again, have the role of teacher for him. Even though I feel he's very charming, very open, you have the role of teacher. And I agree. I think that because this feels so much like a fairy tale, that I would put to rest the idea of having a baby right now and just focus on enjoying each other mm-hmm. and see what you want to share.
Right. Beautiful. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
That's what I was hoping you guys would say.
Yeah.
Okay, you were hoping for this.
Keep your fingers crossed. No.
Yeah, just
all right,
enjoy
guys.
It.
Thank you so much. I love you guys.
Yeah.
Thank
okay,
you.
Donna Rose. Thank you.
Thank you, so much,
thank
Donna.
You for calling in. Good night.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, I was thinking this afternoon, Daria, it just dawned upon me, and I really think I was motivated to share this, but Pat Tillman is a really great example. The guy that died in the Friendly Fire, and he signed on to be in the Rangers after 9/11. He was that really great football player. He is a perfect example of someone with a soul contract with the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because he played such a pivotal role in kind of making Americans look a little bit deeper at what goes on in the military and how the military covers up stuff, the government
mm-hmm.
covers up stuff. And he really put his life on the line, literally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so for some reason I was just led to share that. But he's a really great example of someone with a soul contract.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny, Mother Teresa came up for me the other day. I was
uh-huh.
having a conversation, and I was thinking about Mother Teresa and what her soul contract would be like. And then I had to go to the post office, and I went to buy some stamps, and the postman said to me, oh, do you want Mother Teresa stamps?
Yeah, I love it.
But, you know, just, like, think about that. And once again, it does not mean that you have to selflessly give up everything that you own to fulfill a soul contract. It could be someone who's a movie star in the public eye and decides to support the Humane Society or, you know,
yeah.
or a family member who decides to help a brother, a sister, a sibling, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's so many different ways that this can play out.
It can, yeah, it can be manifested, right.
Some of them are much more powerful where the effects are felt by millions of people.
Right.
And some are felt by one person, but
mm-hmm.
there is no hierarchy here, you know.
Uh-huh.
There is no hierarchy. There's just as much value in all of it. We have another caller on the line. Good
Hello?
Evening. Do we have a caller there?
Hello?
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
Hi, my name is Lacey.
Hi, Lacey. How are you
can
this
you
evening?
Okay.
Yes, I can.
I wasn't
where are you calling?
I'm calling
where are you
from
calling
Kansas
from?
City.
I'm sorry?
Kansas City.
Okay. What's your question?
My question is, like, I've been experiencing a lot of synchronistic events
for probably the last 4 or 5 years. And I'm at sort of a standstill now where I feel like sort of like a pond that has cleaned out, and I'm not sure where to go or what to do now.
I'm sorry, you said you're kind of like a pond that has been cleaned out?
Yeah, you know how a pond turns over or something?
Okay. So you're kind of feeling that spiritually you're feeling empty? Is that it?
I feel like I've got a clean slate, and I'm just
So you've cleared the playing field, and you're ready to start something new. Okay, Rhonda, are you picking anything up?
Why don't you go first? Because I know Lacey. I read for her years ago. So I'm kind of looking for the highest truth I can share with her. So why don't you start if you don't mind?
Okay. Nope. Okay.
That are around her too.
It's interesting that you know how themes always pop up. I'm seeing castles in the air. Castles in the air, which once again makes me feel that you are kind of living your life from the perspective of a higher ideals, which I feel that you're floating off the ground and you need to become grounded, you know, to put it in a practical way. I feel like you just need to ground yourself more. That you guys are telling me you have what it takes to do what you need to do, but you need to be a little bit more grounded because that is how you're going to be able to implement. There's something about a son. Do you have a son?
No.
Okay, I'm getting a, there's someone who wants to talk about a son. There's an M. This is either mom or someone with an M name who's passed over, and I feel like she wants to talk about a son. So is your mom here or passed?
Passed.
Okay. And do you have a brother?
I have two brothers alive and two brothers who've passed.
Okay, because I feel like there's a son. I don't know if this, son with her. I also get the name Michael, and I get the name Robert, so I don't know if either of those names mean anything to you. I also feel like that you kind of are carrying, you feel like you're carrying the weight. It's interesting. I feel that a lot of the family, the lineage, carrying on this lineage has fallen onto you. And I feel that seems to have some weight to it. I don't want to say it feels like a burden, but to me it feels like a little bit of a burden. Does that make sense to you?
It has.
It
has helped out less burden previously.
Okay. So once again, I want to say everything seems to be in place for you. You have the ideals that you want to accomplish, but you need to be grounded more and kind of work through things in a more practical level. Like we can dream about things and we can kind of think about them, but we actually need to take action and do them in a practical way. Rhonda, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, the teachers are really asking me to share with you, Lacey, to really, you know, I don't know where you're at right now in what you're doing for work or bringing in money or income or whatever, but they really want me to have you focus and start thinking about prosperity and abundance and how to bring that more into your life through a practical and pragmatic formula is what they're saying. So they're asking you to put some time and dedication into more pragmatic understandings about prosperity and abundance. And to me, that's what Daria was pointing out and talking about as far as grounding, because if we're not properly grounded, we're not wielding the energy that we need to have to be able to bring into manifest into the physical plane our prosperity and abundance. So focus on the grounding, the education, the deeper education around prosperity and abundance. They're showing me a book by Joel Goldsmith, J-O-E-L Goldsmith, called Invisible Supply.
Invisible Supply?
Okay. Invisible Supply. It's about manifesting in prosperity and abundance. Mm.
I also want to add, too, here that there's a connection to Reiki. I don't know if you do Reiki,
right.
If you know Reiki or you need to learn Reiki. And the teacher or the education is coming up very big. So I feel like either you need to learn something that has to do with this or you need to teach it in order to make money. Does that make sense to you?
Lacey?
Are you there, Lacey? Hello? Okay, Rhonda, are you still here?
I'm still here.
Okay, maybe we lost her.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree
okay.
with you. Teaching Reiki would be a great thing for her.
Oh, okay, yeah. There was definitely picking up on that.
Yeah.
And this is something I have learned along the way: is that we can dream, we can be dreamers. And we can really stay focused in our higher consciousness, you know, think about what we want to do, focus our attention on it. But we do live in the physical world. We are physical beings, and we really sometimes need to just get practical and say, how can I make this happen? What
yeah.
steps do I need to do to make this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have another caller on the line.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Who am I speaking to, please?
Daria?
Yes?
Oh, hi. It's Jennifer.
Jennifer! Hi. You
hey.
Got to look so happy.
I did.
This is wonderful. Rhonda, this is my friend Jennifer who lives in Bend, Oregon.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Rhonda. How are you?
I'm very wonderful. Thank you.
Good.
I'm so excited. Okay, Jennifer.
Yeah.
This is your chance to ask Rhonda a question.
I know. Yeah, Rhonda, I just wanted to get some insights. I, too, am in a place of lots of possibility, and I have a way of creating lots of possibilities for myself in my head as far as being creative, and then I'd never really know which one to follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder about that type of thing in my personality because I end up then not really acting on any of it and wanting to be shown something really kind of concrete. So I end up waiting for stuff to kind of come to me, and I get very confused during these types of times. Unless I'm really certain what I'm supposed to be doing, I could make up a multitude of ideas and possibilities, but then I really don't know which one to do because I don't know what I just don't know. So I'm kind of in those places right now. Didn't know if there was anything that would come through on your end as far as my
okay.
soul.
Okay, so you're looking for more understanding and more resolution about your, it sounds like your path. I mean, what you should be focusing on maybe?
Or just what's next, or what? Yes, my path for sure. I feel like I've come to like a star in the road, and I don't know which point to walk towards.
Oh, I love the way you put that. Okay,
isn't that beautiful?
Yeah,
Jennifer's an amazing person.
Yeah, I know. I can already tell.
With amazing energy.
Yeah. So, how old are you now, Jennifer?
I'm 49.
Okay. So you've already had your children, right? Yeah, because I'm seeing...
I have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, first off, have you ever worked with animals in your lifetime?
Not professionally.
Okay.
Well, actually, younger. When I was younger, I used to work with horses.
Okay. That's the first thing they're showing me is animals. You know, I see a lot of joy in you working with animals. Now, the people are involved too, but I have to say, if you really want it to go this path, this and follow this part of the star, you would be very successful, and your heart would be warm all the time. And learning more of the depths of the animals and the relationships that they have with their people, and what the animals are here for. You'd also be great for working with trainers of animals, you know, to give them more clarity and insight and intuition about how to help the animals. And that goes with even vets or people in the medical profession to help them, or even healers, holistic healers of animals. There's a big resonance for animals, and I want to share with you the connection. You have several shamanic lifetimes where you had deep connections to the animals, where you and the animals worked hand in hand in resolving conflict with other tribes, with bringing in more abundance to your tribes. So this runs really, really deep. I keep hearing the words, this river runs deep for you. So it doesn't even look like you've explored it much in your thoughts at this point in your life. But I want to say this is like a juicy apple for you. So they're just asking you to take it to your dream time, because you understand dream time. You're a shaman at the core. So take it to your dream time and say, okay, show me this path. Show me what my life looks like if I take this path.
Mm-hmm. So I have to, Rhonda, I have to tell you that you have no idea how on the mark what you just said was, because I've known Jennifer for a long time. She has such a connection to Native American shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
Healing with the plants. She actually did a show with me where she interpreted and connected with people's animal totems. She is such a person of nature. She's so connected to animals and the animal totems. She also knows, and I'm speaking to you too, Jennifer, knows massage. She's a massage therapist.
Uh-huh.
But she is also, Jennifer, you are a pathfinder. The reason that you are on so many paths is because you are a pathfinder. You are the one who goes into the forest and forges the way. And so try to think in terms of how can you take your skills of what you know. Do not downplay the intuitive side that you have with your animal connection and your connection to nature, also to the fairy realm, okay, and also the energetic connection you have using massage, that maybe you could do work with animals, as Rhonda said. This really feels to me like, even though this is something you haven't explored, and it might, you've explored a lot of other things, so you might be saying like, okay, this is something completely out of the blue. But how does that feel to you?
It feels like that's one point of that I absolutely did not consider.
Mm-hmm.
Like animals. Wow. I mean, I did look at horses a few weeks back, and I didn't come to any culmination with it, but, I mean, it's given me some food for thought. It's definitely some new territory. It has not been on part of the map. So that's
Jennifer actually used to ride bareback. She used to ride horses bareback.
Wow. Wow.
So you can see that wild spirit, that wild shamanistic spirit. You know, Jennifer, I'm also seeing the owl, and you know very well the totem for the owl. So if I say that the owl's flying in right now, what does that mean to you?
Oh, God, it means a lot to me, really. It means definitely a death aspect is happening on one level for me, which I feel tremendously, which is why I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one of wisdom and truth. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm at this place of, okay, what's next? So I will consider that. You know, it's a very powerful one.
I'm also picking up a connection to Nevada.
Really?
So there might be somebody online who works with animals that's connected to Nevada.
Yeah, this is an interesting departure for me to explore. Yeah,
and I think I something quite unexpected. So, Ron, did you have anything else to add?
Well, you're just a really powerful shaman, and I think that what I see in you working with animals, just as the beautiful woman that you are, it's very non-threatening to the normal person. You see, now if you come out and you say, I'm a shaman, that's kind of scary to some people. See, you can work with people and their animals in all kinds of different aspects, and you can also teach other people that are interested in shamanism and exploring more about that realm and how they can work with the animals through classes with you. That would be a great way to use this gift, too. However, it's hands-on with the animals also. I mean, I just see so much joy there, and you wake up every day with your heart so open and overflowing that it's just so wonderful because you get to work with these animals manifested in the physical form, you know, every day, that it's very tactile. So there's lots of ways to be able to multidimensionally express this. So don't limit yourself, but those animals, they want to work with you again in the physical.
That's great.
So thank you.
Awesome. Oh, that's very, very, that's very refreshing. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you so much for calling in, Jennifer.
Yeah, you bet. Take care.
Okay, bye now. Well, I'm sure that was something she was not expecting to hear, but that's what makes this fun, the unexpected. So once again, I just want to give people your website, Rhonda. It is thesoulknows.net. And you can go onto Rhonda's website and explore. You can sign up, get a reading with her, because, you know, this is just like a little snapshot of what is coming when you actually have lots of time to explore. It's just an amazing, amazing possibility. And also, you're on Facebook, right?
Right.
In case anybody wants to know what's coming up. Oh, your radio show. I almost forgot about that. You have a radio show, The Soul Knows, on Contact Talk Radio. It's on Thursday evenings. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's 7 p.m. Central Time, and that would be, 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a call-in show,
right.
So people can call in and speak to you there. Wow,
right.
I almost forgot about that. So I want to thank you so much, Rhonda, for joining me tonight, and wish you all the best of luck. And if I could ask you, what would be one thing that you could tell people when contemplating their soul contracts? Something
appreciation.
To with.
I think appreciation. Yeah. Appreciation, because we're expressing ourselves through interacting with whoever we've agreed to be in contract with. So I think appreciation.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. And you know what? Appreciation, gratitude, love, it's all different expressions of the same thing. And when you come from that place, then, and you live in that place, and you get up every day and you express that appreciation, that gratitude, the doors will open for you, the ways will become clear, and you will see things in a completely different light, and also see different your relationships in a completely different light. And instead of wanting to smack everybody, you might want to just say, okay, let me look at them from a compassionate viewpoint. Some of the people are probably saying, yeah, sure. All right. Well, I want to say I have about a minute left, so I want to say thank you so much, Rhonda. As always, it was a joy and a pleasure, and I do appreciate you. And I would like to end this evening by saying, by giving you a quote from Cahil Gibran from the Prophet, written in 1923. Say not, I have found the truth, but rather, I have found a truth. Say not, I have found the path of the soul. Say rather, I have met the soul walking upon my path. For the soul walks upon all paths. The soul walks not upon a line, neither does it grow like a reed. The soul unfolds itself like a lotus of countless petals. Oh, I just love that.
Mm-hmm.
So next week I will be doing readings. The whole show is going to be devoted to that. I thank you all. I wish you grace and peace always. And thank you for listening. Good night.
Good night.